Stand with me, if you would, for the opening prayer. We're here at the African Church Sunday morning service, and before we hear the word of God, let's stand and ask God to bless the teaching of His holy, His eternal, His inherent written word. O Lord God, this is your holy word. We are your servants. Give us understanding that we might know your testimonies. You have prayed, O Lord, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Use your holy, eternal, inerrant written word to set us apart this morning for your service and for your glory. Show us great and mighty things which we do not know. The sower sows the word. Protect us from Satan who will snatch your word, making it fruitless. Protect us from a wrong reaction to difficulties and discouragements and persecutions which make our hearts hard and unresponsive to your word. Protect us from the world's cares, the delight of wealth, and the passions of other interests which enter in and choke your word, making it fruitless. Rather, plow up now the hard ground of our hearts, O Lord. Let not your word go out and return empty. Accomplish that purpose for which you are sending it out, and for which you have gathered us together. Allow your seed of your written word to land on good soil, sending roots downward, bearing fruit upward. Unsheathe now the sword of your spirit, O Lord. Cut to the dividing point of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Judge this morning the thoughts and the intention of each heart gathered here this morning. Spread your word before us as a banquet table, O Lord. Grant grace that we might eat of the rich meat and drink of the sweet milk of the great doctrines of your holy written word. Give us the heart of the prophets who cried to you, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." O Lord, we live in a dark and a wicked age. Broad is the way, and many are on it, which leads to destruction. Make your word a lamp to our feet. Make your word a light to our path. Show us that narrow way that you would have us walk. And Lord, as we run in the paths of your commandments, enlarge our hearts, that in loving you, we might be more obedient to your holy word. Drop your word against our lives as a plumb line this morning, O Lord. Grant grace that we might see how we deviate from its high and its holy purposes. Make your word to us a mirror, O Lord. Grant grace that we might not be as those who look and then go away and promptly forget, but make us active doers, not forgetful listeners of your holy word. O Lord, because of our fealty to you, because of our undying love and devotion to your Son, our resurrected Savior, we pledge to you this morning our total submission to your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word. And we pledge to you this morning our unquestioning obedience to all of its commands. In the name of our Lord and our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It will be a joy to be here with you this morning. Turn with me, if you would, in the Holy Scriptures to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Hebrews 12:11 says, "All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained in it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." You see, in God's value system, discipline is not punitive. It is not bad. Rather, it is loving, it is good, it is not an act of judgment, but rather of grace. Hebrews 12:10 says that God disciplines us for our good. Now, how can that be? Most of us grew up in homes where discipline was done out of anger. Many times it was vicious, and we were told how bad we were. God's discipline, though sometimes painful and uncomfortable, is done in love with the constant reminder that He loves us, we have the righteousness of Christ, and He's doing it for a good purpose. You see, God does not punish us. This word discipline is a different word in the Greek, in the original language, than punish. God does not punish us. Isaiah 53:6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Your sins, all of them, all the sins which needed to be punished by God, were placed on Christ on the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. By his wounds you are healed." And once every sin that you had committed or would ever commit in your lifetime was placed on Christ on the cross, then the heavy hand of God's judgment, the hell due each and every sin, fell upon Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:11 says that God looked upon his holy Son, high priest and sacrifice, and he looked upon his wrath, his eternal judgment being absorbed in that perfect sacrifice. And he said that he looked upon that sacrifice and was satisfied. So he will do no bad thing to you because of your sin. Because his wrath, his anger, his justice has been satisfied in the person of Christ. It is only in understanding this that we can discipline our children and not do it in anger. When we understand that God disciplines us, but not in anger, but rather to train us for righteousness, we in turn can discipline our children, but not in anger, but rather for their success. It is the difference between punishment and discipline. Now, how many of you, If you have children, make sure they had their vaccinations. Did your children? Yeah, your children had their vaccinations. Good. Did you give them their vaccinations? No, you didn't. A family member? Did you have a parent? Were they in your Bible study? A stranger. Okay. All right. And they stuck a needle in them. Did your child cry? Ah, okay. And you call yourself a good mother. Let me get this straight. You trust your child to a stranger who stuck needles in them and made them cry, and you call yourself a good mother? See? It would be a wicked mother who would do that to punish her child. It is a good mother who does it to practice the discipline of medicine. Big difference, isn't it? And we may do the same thing with the rod, but there is a big difference between beating our children in anger and training them in righteousness for their success. And unless we understand that when we sin, no bad thing will happen to us, that God will exercise His discipline to deliver us from the wrong way and put us on the right way, only then can we discipline our children, not in anger, but to train them for their success. That it is good. If I ask the question, God wants me to be happy, many people will say yes, but that is not true. What does Hebrews 12, 10, 11 say? God disciplines us for our good. All discipline does not seem joyful, but sorrowful. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be at peace with Him. And He wants us to be righteous. That may or may not entail happiness. If you don't understand this, and if you say a good God keeps me happy all the time, which is not true, then you will also say a good mother has a happy child. But that is also not true. God does not want you to keep your children happy. God wants you to raise them as disciples of Christ. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with them and that they may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. A happy child receives a vaccination or eats ice cream. Eats ice cream. A happy child eats their greens or has candy. Has candy. A happy child watches TV or does their homework. They do homework. A happy child plays outside all day Sunday or goes to church and children's choir and Sunday school. They play outside. Your job is not to keep your children happy. Your job in Ephesians 6:3 is that it may be well with them and they live long on the earth. You do not have to have children, but if you choose to have children, fulfill your spiritual, social, moral, and educational responsibilities to those children. You see, in the world's value system, grace is not inflicting discipline. And judgment is a gracious mother overlooks sin, and a harsh mother disciplines for sin. But that's a lie of Satan. What is the harshest form of judgment that God has devised for mankind? Romans 1:24. That therefore God gave them over to the lust of their hearts. Romans 1:26. For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. Verse 28. And just as they no longer saw fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. The harshest, most severe judgment that God has for men while they walk the face of the earth is to let the little darlings have their way. To not intervene. To give them over to their behavior. And what do these depraved people look like in verse 30? Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, and disobedient to their parents. Do not give your children over to the lies of the West, of liberal European and American teachers who tell you that discipline is wrong and rebellion is healthy. Rather, God says all discipline for the moment seems not joyful but sorrowful, yet those who have been trained in it, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The world, the flesh, and the devil say a loving parent does not discipline and spank and train their children. They keep them happy all the time. In contrast to what the world, the flesh, and the devil say, God, the Holy Spirit, says, but if you are without discipline, which all have become takers, then you are illegitimate children. There was a time in the history of this country when you were ruled by colonial masters. And many times they got the household pregnant. Well, they didn't want to take responsibility for that child, but they did see that the child had a little extra. Extra clothes, went to a better school. Sometimes they sent them off to Europe. And the mommy would always say, this is coming from uncle. But they never knew who that is. Anybody can be uncle procreator. It takes a Christian father to get involved in the life of his children and ensure they are successful in church, they are successful in school, and that they take a successful position in society. Any man can bear a child and see that he's well clothed, well fed, and send him off to school where he'll be well educated. That's called uncle procreator. Do not repeat the sins of your depraved European colonial lifestyle. Instead, make your families a biblical standard, whereas fathers get involved in the lives of their children, ensure that they are in church on Sunday, well behaved, ensure that they are doing well in mathematics and reading, ensure that they are socially well dressed and well mannered, and ensure that they take their rightful place in society. May God add His blessing to the teaching of His holy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.